Session number 20157, Reel 1.
If I can ask you, first of all, so how were you killed to be down the yards? What happened to you?
Well, of course, I was called up for the forces.
Mm-hmm.
And I was failed medical because I've got a finger up on my left hand.
Ah.
And of course, I wasn't able to go in.
Mm-hmm.
So then they turned round and said, right, I would have to go into the factories.
Mm-hmm.
So my father was working in the shipyards then, Ports and Slipwick.
Yeah.
And he came in one day, Mr. Dwight, he says, just go down and see the manager. He says, I've got your job. Because I don't think they wanted me to leave home.
No.
And
what, in the factories, that would have meant going down to Coventry?
Oh, somewhere like that, the Midlands or something like that, you
yeah.
see. So, of course, I just went down there.
Mm.
I went to the bleeding shop first.
Mm.
And I was cutting brass.
Oh, yeah.
For the boilers and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there about a year and a half. Of course, I was travelling from Ovingham every day.
Oh, dear. That's kind of a way out, isn't
yeah.
it? So how did you manage the travelling? I mean, did you get a lift or...?
No, we used to get the train.
Get
we
the
used
train.
To leave every morning at... that's 5 a.m.
Good lord. Well, you've done a day's work by 10
Yes, I have. We used to get the 10-6 train down to Newcastle.
Yeah.
And then from Newcastle down to Wallsend. But we used to get in for 4:07. Of course, I mean, trains and that weren't as quick as what they are now.
No.
Mm-hmm. And we used to finish at 5:30 at night and then start the trek back home again.
So what time did you get home on it?
Around about 6:45 at night.
It's been a very long day.
It was. But the worst of it was a fortnight day shift and a fortnight night shift, you see.
Yeah.
Well, night shift, it was 7:30 at night till 7:30 the next morning.
Yeah.
And I did it for about 10 months and then I collapsed. And I went to see the doctor and he said it was just overwork, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
What
just
was the travelling?
Yeah.
And of course, being human daft, you know, trying to burn the candles at both ends and that.
That's right.
And so then they turned around and said, well, I had to do night shift, definitely in the bleeding shop, so I was sent down to the boiler shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I became a driller down there.
So the first job that you were doing, what exactly did it entail? You were saying you had equipment.
Right, used to be long bars of brass like that, and you used to have to cut them into 9-inch, 12-inch and that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a very big job or anything like that.
Yeah.
Was
it sort of repetitive to that extent? You would just, that's all you were doing, cutting them into different lengths?
Yes. Yeah. Then I went on to drilling segments and that.
And what did that entail?
Well, it was a drilling machine, you know.
Ah, yeah.
And the segments were about 6-7 inches.
Uh-huh.
And you drill a hole through the middle.
Yeah. And what were they for? Where were you?
The engines and that.
Uh-huh.
I worked next door to the fitting shop.
Yeah.
My father worked in the fitting shop and used to build the engines there and that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't so interesting as what it was down in the boiler shop and that. The men were very hard work down the boiler shop and very, very noisy.
Yes.
Terribly noisy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it took you, say 6 months before you could get him used to the noise and that.
Mm-hmm.
Because in them days, the men used to be stripped to the buff.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there was no modesty.
Right.
And, actually, I was working right beside the boilers then,
mm-hmm.
and that I was sort of sitting here. My machine was here, and the boilers was there.
Yeah,
was right next door to them.
So, I mean, how did you find that? Did you find it frightening at all at first when you were in with all the noise?
Well, not exactly frightening, but you sort of got tensed up a bit, and that, you know, after so many hours, you used to think, oh, you know.
Yeah.
get outside and get although there wasn't much peace and quietness outside neither.
Had you worked before you went down the yard?
Yes. I used to work in Bevan's.
Uh-huh. What's that?
Bevan's in Biker. Gown shop.
I suppose it would be very different if you
were. It was, and then from there I was working in a grocery shop in Wylam. Because that was lovely, because I used to go out and get orders and that through the day. Mm-hmm. And that, so it was a lot quieter than what I took up with.
Yeah.
And that.
You said that your father worked down the yards. Now, mm-hmm. I've talked to some people who, well, their sort of relatives weren't too happy when they went to work down the yards, but you say your father actually encouraged you.
Oh, yes, because, as he said, well, I mean, we're only young, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was only 17. Mm-hmm. And when I went to work there, because that's when you pulled up during the war, and I was an only one. And as he said, he could keep his eye on me.
And did he used to keep his eye on you?
And of course it was, I mean, it was company for him, because I used to travel with him every day as well. Mm. And of course a lot of the shipyard people did move up into Hexham and Wylam and Stocksfield and those places. In fact,
that's something I've never heard of before.
Have you not? No. Oh, yes. It was an awful lot of the foremen and managers and that. Uh-huh. And people that could get away out into the country.
And when did this happen?
Oh, at the beginning of the war, a lot of them. And of course, Vickers Armstrongs, you know, they took all their office workers up to Hexham.
Yeah.
And that, and did all their work up there. Good. I used to travel every day because on night shift I used to get to know some of the girls and that, and I used to say to them when I got in the carriage, now if I doze over, will you wake me up before I get from the station? And they did, but one morning they didn't and I woke up at Hexham.
I think I've heard tales like that before.
Yes.
Right. I know when my brother first started working, he always used to snooze on the bus on the way back, and I always used to wake him up the terminal. What did your mum think of you working down the yards?
Well, she knew that I had to do it, so. And I mean, as she said, she knew my father was keeping an eye on it, so I couldn't get into any mischief in that.
Wasn't much mischief went on there.
Oh, yes. Oh, I can tell you one tale. I don't know whether I should or not.
Oh, yeah.
There used to be a girl there. She was terrible. What we call nowadays a prostitute. And they used to call her the Black Abbot. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But and she had about four different children, all different colours and that. Yeah. And there was a Belgium Congo boat came in. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Kind of people and that. And they used to terrify us, the men, because they used to come round the boiler shop and that to see how the work was going on.
Yeah.
And this day, this few came in and that, and they had the lobe of the ear all cut away, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And just the lobe hanging down here and that. Mm-hmm. Scars on their faces and that. Great big knives down there, they wore knee length socks, you know, with big knives. And used to come and talk, you know. And she was going out with one or two of them and that.
Yeah.
Mind, she was the only one that was like that. The other girl, actually, there was only 7 girls worked in the boiler shop. Mm. And and they all married men out of the boiler shop.
Yeah. So it was a great meeting point, really. What did other people think, you know, if you met someone and oh, that's what you did, and you said, oh, I'm a shipbuilder, or I'm a ship guy. Did you get any funny responses on that?
No, not really, because, I mean, just living in this small village and that, you know, they never used to take much notice of you and that, because, I mean, they didn't see people a lot during the day and that, because, I mean, it wasn't just 5 days a week then, it was practically 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, used to work Saturday mornings, and sometimes I had it going on a Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Was there ever sort of any overtime on a night?
Well, there was overtime,
yeah.
But...
You didn't have to do it, though, did you?
Oh, you were supposed to do it and that. My father used to do it sometimes and that. But, you'd sort of, you know, said to somebody, well, if you take my turn tonight, I'll take your turn another night. It was generally a Tuesday and a Thursday that you had to work overtime and that. And it depended on your foreman as well. I mean, I was fortunate. I had two good foremen in that.
Yeah.
One was called Jack Atkinson. He was foreman in the blading shop. And the other one was Whitelaw. He worked in the boiler shop in that.
So, what was it like when you first went down there? Did you feel in to any extent that you had to prove yourself, that you could prove that you could do a job that...
It wasn't so much that, it was your foreman stood over you when on piecework, you see, and you had to do that amount of work or else.
Can you remember, I know it's asking a lot, it's quite a while ago, how the piecework was worked out? I mean, did they put a special rate in for the women, or did you go into what was already accepted?
Oh no, it was... there was the woman was paid on a lower rate than what the men was.
Ah, yeah.
And I think it was saying for 24 for half a crown.
Mm-hmm.
You had to do 24 segments for half a crown, you see.
That's right.
And which wasn't bad money in those days. I mean, I'm going back, what, 1942?
Yes.
And that's...
So, I mean, at the end of the week, what sort of wage would you come out with?
About £7 in that.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of money in those days.
How did that compare with what you were getting in the shops?
Oh, I was getting 7 and 6 a week in the shops.
So,
I was like a millionaireess.
Yeah. Did that make any difference? I mean, did it mean you could buy more things that otherwise you
could?
Did it go to the house?
I had a mother that the money was put on the table on a Friday night when you went in, and I used to get 10 shilling a week pocket money.
Yeah.
And that had to do for pictures, cigarettes, makeup and that, stockings, anything. And she kept the rest.
Quite a lot of the women I've talked to have said that, you know, they had more money than they'd ever had before, but there wasn't that much around that you could buy with it.
No, so that's right, with so since everything was on coupons and that.
So, can you remember, I don't know, your first day when you went into the yard, how you felt?
Very frightened, because, I mean, the noise, as I say, wasn't so bad in the blading shop and that, because there was more space. I mean, there was a blading shop, there was a fitting shop, there was an engine shop and that, that was definitely much bigger, and it didn't seem to sort of close down in yet. But of course, when he went down in the boiler shop, I mean, they were making, I should imagine, what, 3 or 4 boilers at a time. And then there was a welding shop just beside the boiler shop, you see. They all sort of amalgamated into each other.
So it was all very close.
And we had a terrible manager down there, Mr. Potts. Don't think anybody liked him. Well, he was this sort of a fella, I can tell you. The day he retired, he walked out and there was nobody shook his hand. I don't think he ever smiled. I think if he smiled, his face would have cracked.
Well, there's always quite a few characters like that. I know on the way, the well-known, you know, and you just have to say the name and people sort of...
Yes. And on night shift, it used to be frightening as well. The woman was never allowed to go to the restroom on their own, and that used to have to wait till there was 4 or 5 of you.
Yeah.
And then one of the head women used to come and take you over, and then take you back again. And of course, I mean, there was Russian ships in at the time. Mm. I don't know whether this is interest to you.
Oh, yes, yeah, too.
And there was a Russian Navy boat in at the time, and they were allowed just to go into the town once a week. And there was a guard at the beginning and a guard at the end. And they weren't never allowed to speak to anybody.
German.
No, I don't think anybody ever spoke to them, the Russians. And they seemed quite kind of people in that.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, there would be other boats in, and their crews were just wondering about them.
Oh, sure, yes. There was a French-Canadian boat in at the time. I remember that one very vividly, because there was a murder down there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There was a fight broke out with two of the crew, and one was murdered. And actually, my father and I saw him being taken away.
Yes.
And he was taken away at lunchtime. And funny thing was, the same boat, this is interest to you, Anna, there was a monkey on the boat, and there was a cat as well. And this monkey used to go and get a hold of the cat, throw it over the side of the boat. The cat used to, how it never drowned, I don't know.
Yeah.
Used to swim back, come up, somebody used to yank it up, the monkey used to throw it over the side again. You know, there was a funny side to life and that on the boats and that. And as I say, you did get your laughs and that, but there was rather sad parts about it and that.
Yeah.
And mind, the men were always very good and that. They were always helpful and that to, you know, if you got stuck with something.
Yeah, there wasn't any resentment. There wasn't any of them thought that women shouldn't be.
No, no, definitely not. Mm. No, I mean, the men, some of the men, Albert would be able to tell you more of the names in the boiler shop, because since they say that's where he worked all his life and that.
Yes.
He used to, as I say, be stripped to the buff and that, and using now I wouldn't like to say exactly what size hammers, but there was something like this, you know, to knock the rivets and that in. It was all hand rivet in them days and that, not by machine or anything.
Yeah.
As I say, these days, they've got it easy.
Oh yeah, they were hard times.
Yeah. And the men used to say, now turn your heads away, girls, we're going to strip.
You know, before you went into the yards, you must have heard your father on about what it was like down there. And how did any idea that you had of what a shipyard was like actually match up with what you found when you got down there? You expect it to be like it was?
Oh yes, and that, because when I was a little girl, I was taken through the shipyard, you see. We used to be allowed to be taken through in those days and that. And my father took me through and that, showed me where the boiler shop was, the blading shop, and the... the engine shop. Foundry.
Yeah.
And that, and of course, you see, you used to be able to go and see lunches as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big occasion.
Yes,
But, I mean, for yourself, it mustn't have been that hard because, like, your family worked down there.
Uh-huh.
Was that the case with other women that that worked down there? Did
Some of them couldn't stand it and that, you know.
Yeah.
The noise really got them down and that. And there was quite a few, the women, I wouldn't say they had breakdowns and that, but it depended. Now, some of the women worked on the boats, you see, themselves and that. They welders and that, they worked on the boats and that.
Yeah.
And actually, I didn't know any women that did welding and that. It was all the same sort of work as what I did.
Yes.
And that.
So, did you know any of the other lasses that were working down there before you went down? Or
No, they were all strangers and that. Of course, they more or less all lived in Wallsend and that.
Yeah, right.
And the funny part was, we went out to lunch just in the summer there, and my son's a fisherman, and he introduced me to the managing director of Callie's, and we had lunch with him. And we were talking and that, and I don't know how it came up, but I just happened to say I worked in the Walls End Slippery during the war, and he said, oh, so did my mother. What department did you work in? He says, oh, the bleeding shop. So I says, what did they call it? It's like heavy force. And I looked at him and I started to laugh. I says, you mightn't believe it, but I said, I was at your mother's wedding. I says, actually, I stayed at your mum's house odd times, so, you know, if I wanted to go to a dance or anything.
Yeah.
I says, I used to stay there. I suppose after all these years meeting my son.
Right. So you did make a lot of good friends?
Oh, real good friends and that. I mean, if I wanted to stay down in Walls End and that, I mean, I could always find somebody's house to stay at and that.
Yeah.
Because trains and buses finished at 9 o'clock in those days. There's no transport
to pull them out. Yeah, it's a bit far to walk, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So that the people you met down there, did you keep in touch after the war?
No, because it was a shame, because some of them are like, as I say, with Peggy, she was married in 1943, where she left in 1944.
Yeah.
When she had that first baby, you see.
Yes.
And actually, I'm telling a lie. Two of the girls did come and see me once or twice after I was married, and I went up to see them. But of course, you know, as time goes by, you just lose touch and that.
Yeah.
And one of the girls, Agnes, she married a welder, but she was only married about a year and a half when she died. She was only very young. She was only about 21 when she died. A bit tragic that.
Yes.
But, no, as I say, we all fitted in well in that, and if you were stuck, the men used to come and help you in that, which was quite helpful. But it was a long day.
What about the sort of provision that was made for the women in the yards? I mean, you mentioned a restroom. Was that solely for the women?
Oh, yes. No, there was that was just for the women in that. But there was an old battle axe in there.
Yeah.
She used to time you as you went in. And if you were 5 minutes over that time, she'd come and yank you.
Yes. So, I mean, what would you use that for? Was it the case of you going there at
three times? Well, I used to have about a quarter of an hour in the morning rest and that. You could go and have your sandwiches there at lunchtime, or you went up to the canteen, which was just outside of the gates.
Yeah.
You used to have a quarter of an hour in the afternoon, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. And what, all the women would go down there, or would they just have their breaks with the blokes that were working there?
No, more or less all went down there and that. Some of them might have stayed behind, I don't know, but we used to go down.
Yeah.
We used to be glad to go out again. A bit of fresh air in that.
Yeah, right.
Because in those days, you see, I know there was quite a good bit of heat in the factory, in the yard itself. But on night shift, we used to have coke fires and that. And when you got your work finished, which you used to try and get finished to have a snooze, you used to sit over the coke fires. Which wasn't good for you. We realised afterwards that the fumes were very bad for your chest and that. Quite a few of them ended up with quite bad chests and that. But, because night shift used to be terrible. I think the longest time you could say was from about 9 o'clock till midnight. And that, it used to really drive then. And then, after midnight until about 7 o'clock when day shift used to come on, it wasn't so bad.
Yeah. And you were saying that you had to work alternate fortnights, wasn't
yes,
you?
Yes, fortnight day shift and yeah. fortnight nitro. That was in the blading shop. Yeah.
That must have taken a lot of getting used to.
Oh,
dear.
I mean,
just one fortnight here and
there. Trying to sleep through the day was terrible because I lived on a farm. My people weren't farmers and that, but we're very fortunate. My grandma had a bungalow at Ogden when the war broke out, so of course she moved up there at the beginning of the war because she was, must have been about 87 then.
Yes.
And 1940, because you're not remembering, you know nothing about it, when Noshears was really badly bombed one night, Wilkinson's, the lemonade people, they were hit. And there was a lot of people killed then.
Yeah.
And my father said, right, that's it, we'll move up to Ogden.
Yeah.
So we went and saw the farmer, and we took half the farmhouse up and went to live there, which were very fortunate because at least it meant we're getting a night's sleep.
Yes.
Which other people didn't get.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, at least I was fresh in the morning, they weren't, and that.
I suppose they used to come in some states if they'd been up all night.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, being in the shelters and that, you know, was pretty bad, wasn't
it? Yeah, right. What about the other conditions in the yards? I mean, was there any bother about someone mentioning about rats, for instance? Were there many rats there?
Actually, I never saw them.
Never saw them?
No. There might have been where the boats were, you know, lying and that, but there weren't any in the factories and that, in the yard, lane shop and that, and that was a thing we never saw.
Yeah.
Actually, we're told to keep the blading shop and that very clean.
Very clean, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm. It was a stone floor and we used to have the sweeper ups and that, they used to come round and sweep up and that.
Mm.
That it was very clean, but not the boiler shop, mind, because you just couldn't have a stone floor there, when they were building the boilers and that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There other things happened, that's not the one who used to work in Doxford, and she was saying that they used to have terrible trouble with fleas down there. Always itching. This was in the plate shop.
Nothing like that. No. No, I never had
one of them. Yeah. Oh, Johnny, best of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, was there ever any raids when you were actually in the yard, Jim?
Oh, yes, there was raids at night shift. Actually, I don't think we ever went into the shelters. We may have once or twice, but not very often. We used to more or less just work through, if possible, if it weren't too bad in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I was at home and that, in Noshames, I spent more time in the shelter there than that. Because, you see, I didn't start... as I say, in the slippage from 1942.
Yeah.
And that. So that what nights there was, at least I got my nights up home. Mm-hmm.
Was there any shelters in the yards?
Oh yes, there were shelters on that. Uh-huh.
Most of the yards on the way to that one just didn't have any. One woman who used to run home every time there was a raid at the gate.
Of course, you see, I mean, we used to come for the yards and that.
Mm.
And the ICI works was up at Prudhoe, you know, that. And they tried for them once or twice.
Yeah.
But they never hit them in that.
Mm.
I think they used to get lost after they left the town, you know, they used to come as far as Wrighton, and of course there wasn't much after that.
That's
there was the rest of the town, but it was very narrow in that, you say.
What about the actual work itself? I mean, did you enjoy what you did, or would you rather work in the greengrocers?
I'd have definitely worked in the greengrocers and that, but it was interesting, and that, and it was interesting to see the Bayless being practically built from nothing.
Yeah.
To and watching them being taken out and that.